Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our Catholic News podcast. Now, as you know, here at the Bishops' Conference, we have many lines of work, but a really important one to us is supporting the Christians of the Holy Land. We have the Holy Land coordination that the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales is tasked with organising every year to that region, that wonderful region, that's experiencing an awful lot of pressure at the moment and has been for some time now. So that's the direction of flow that we're going in today. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Anton Asfar, who's the Secretary General of Caritas Jerusalem, working across the region, and Father Ilias Tabban, the parish priest of Zababde. Did I get that right, Father?
Yeah, very right.
That's good. Now, just to sort of give people a geographic marker, Zababde is in the north of the West Bank, around about 15 kilometres away from Jenin. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's
It is a village in the Jenin Governorate.
Excellent. That's just so we know where it all sits. Now, Anton, I saw you back in January when we were out for the Holy Land coordination. It was my first time in Taipei. It was my first time in Ramallah. And you showed us those wonderful projects, hospitals, schools, obviously provision for the elderly. I found that very interesting too. So much work. And at that time, as of now, there was a ceasefire announced. We had optimism that deteriorated once we got back home to pessimism and sadness. Now, of course, we have another ceasefire and everyone's hoping and praying that that holds for the people so they can recover. It's hopefully more positive, but there is that sort of trepidation and caution, isn't there, in terms of this ceasefire? How are you looking at it?
Well, you know, we have a huge presence in Gaza. We are the biggest Catholic organization in Gaza, with 126 staff operating all over Gaza and 10 medical points. Unfortunately, on the 22nd of September, after the invasion, the last invasion of Gaza City, most of the staff has been internally displaced. They have been internally displaced for more than 10 times in Gaza, left their homes, and with the announcement of the ceasefire, or let's say the end of the war agreement, they are hopeful, they are happy, but they are careful, because this ceasefire looks like a straw man, and it's dwindling in the wind. We don't know. This is what we see is not a whole holistic approach of a peace process for the end of the conflict, of decades of conflict, but there is hopes. Our staff are happy. They are moving back to Gaza City from the southern part. 102 has moved to the southern part of Gaza. 24 remained in the two churches, the Holy Family Church, the Latin Church, and the Orthodox Church. We have our operations manager in the Holy Family. He's quite optimistic, smiley person, which really promotes positive vibes to the teams. But we are very careful, you know, while moving around Gaza. It's really terrible to be in Gaza. The streets are not proper. It takes hours and hours to move from one place to another, and you know, there is a total damage of the infrastructure in Gaza. When our teams returned back to check their homes, they found some of them, they didn't find their homes. They found totally erased neighborhoods. Some of them find some damages, but there is no proper water supply, no clean water. Sanitation system is totally damaged, and food is still coming in trickles in Gaza. Not to forget also the West Bank. You know, this war has a huge impact over the West Bank, because you know, the West Bank, and especially the holy places, especially Jerusalem and Bethlehem, depends highly on pilgrimages, and there was a total collapse of the tourism sector. You can imagine hotels, pilgrims' houses, souvenir shops, handicrafters, artisans, without a source of income. So families are struggling in the Holy Land, especially in the West Bank and Jerusalem. Access and movement is a big issue, and you have sensed that, and you have experienced that while we were moving from Taipei to Ramallah. You remember how we were stopped on the way with a flying checkpoint. And this happens on a daily basis, and it's really frustrating. You know, our teams has to commute from one place to another, from the north of the West Bank to the south of the West Bank. Yes, they have issues with issuing permits to come in Jerusalem because our Palestinian West Bank holder IDs colleagues have to apply for permits. We have to apply them, and it's really a complex process actually to bring in permits to our teams. So we struggle around this still. We are hopeful with this new process, but we want to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a really good point about the West Bank. So I'll turn to you, Father Ilias. How, to sort of rewind a couple of years, how over the last 2 years have your people coped with the war in Gaza and the implications? And you know, people sometimes don't look at the West Bank and look at the struggles in the West Bank. How are your people coping?
Since I was in Zimbabwe 2 months before the war. The 7th of October. I arrived to Zimbabwe the 7th of August. It was quiet life, very normal. People who used to work in Israel, 270 of the families, of the 470 families I have in the parish, were working in Israel. 270 families since the 7th of October are at home. No income, nobody speaks about them. We can't ask as Christians also, because somebody would say, Christians, they treat you better or in another way. No. They see us Arabs, as Muslims, and then they don't treat us in another way. So they are at home. And the other 100 families used to work or to own their shops in Jenin. This is closed because of the checkpoint. So also them, they are in trouble, no income. And the other around 50 to 60, they are in the Palestinian Authority working as or soldiers or policemen or, and no income because of the tax will have to be refunded from Israel to Palestine, and it is not refunded. So they give them each 2-3 months 700 shekels, which is 20-30% from their salary, each 2-3 months. This also for the schools, they are closed because they don't pay the Palestinian Authority. They don't pay the salaries. So they went for 3 days a week. 2 days frontal and 1 day is online. And let's say the 2 days that they work is half day because they cannot afford paying for them. I'm also a director of the school because we have in the parish the biggest school for the diocese. And it is the only Catholic and Christian school all over Jenin. So we have 1,100 students in the school. We work normally with the help of the Patriarchate to afford the all the salaries for everybody. We have around 70 employees and teachers. We try to survive because people, since then, they don't have income. They cannot pay their fees. And putting in consideration, which is very good for us, but very bad in the economical level, that the families in Zimbabwe, they are big families, at least 6 children, a family. If you have less than 6, they look at you, why? Wasn't there something wrong? And everybody is in the school. We have to bring every Christian to that school for the continuity of the catechism, for loyalty for the church, as a parish. So the school in the morning is a school, and in the afternoon it is my pastoral center. Every day we work 24/7, I can say. But people there, they don't have anything unless the church. So they come in the morning as students, and in the afternoon as their place to entertain or to continue their spiritual life through scout or through the youth movements, or through the ladies' movements. And we have the biggest scout all over Palestine between Muslims and Christians. We have
that
the biggest
amazing.
Youth also, members. Huge numbers.
It's great to see how the church is providing, even under these really, really heavy restrictions and difficult sets of circumstances. I remember when I was, you know, Father Gabriel Romanelli has been in this studio, done a podcast with us. And, you know, even looking at his situation, the one thing that I found really impressive amongst many things is the fact that he tried to sort of shield the children from the horrors. You could see the sacramental life. As a priest, he was focusing on the sacraments, on prayer, on just sort of keeping the children from some of the real horrors as much as he could. I know that's not fully possible. I know it's different in the West Bank, but with the pressures you've described, how important is that sacramental life to especially the children?
Each Friday, we have meeting for the kids between 6 to 12 years old. And they come from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. They have their breakfast in the church within this program. And this is a spiritual program because it is an extracurriculum program. It's not only catechism, it's how to live your life. With the help of the sisters, we have two sisters from the Rosary Sisters, and we have a subdeacon. So every Friday, we receive minimum 300 children till 400 children from the village.
Wow.
That they come for their spiritual life. Then we have what is called the youth movement for the secondary school and intermediate school. So they are, each one of them, around 110. They come each Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. And then we have for the university students, they have around 80. They come each Saturday after Mass to profound their relation with the church. The people there are very, how we say, loyal and very, they have this very profound relation with the church. They want to continue this life. Without this life, they cannot stay in the Holy Land. And they know that this is a mission from God, that we are there to give this testimony for everybody who are Christians. We are one village between 92 villages. So we have Jenin City with 37 families, Christians from all denominations. We have another three villages around Jenin and us, Zababde. The three villages are empty up, approximately. One village is called Der Ghazale, one family, Christian. Muslims, they don't want them to leave. Please don't leave. We need you. They know that Palestine without Christians is not anymore Palestine that they wanted. And another two villages, there are seven or six families in each. We take the whole Christians from every village and the Muslims in the school.
I find that really interesting. And I'm going to ask Anton this one, because we often look at Arab Christians, we look at Muslims in the West Bank and in Gaza, and I've always been very struck by how a lot of the Catholic charities, a lot of the Catholic provision doesn't just provide for itself and its own community, but it really is an act of Christian charity. It's not just looking after your own, is it? I mean, I saw when I was with you in January that the fact that the Catholic community serves the wider community.
Yes, indeed, because we see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ in others, and this is the importance of our vocation. Our motto at Caritas Jerusalem is we put love into action, and this is how we live our the gospel, how our catechese, how we learned back in school, and be with the other and uplift the our brothers and sisters over there. You know, in Gaza, we serve everyone. The Christian folk is around 640 in both churches, the Latin and the Orthodox church. So our service is mostly for the wider community out there. And we do care, you know, for alleviating their own suffering. One successful initiative after the exactly ceasefire is the we have, with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that I believe much that he was all time with us and with the Church of Jerusalem. he provided us and facilitated for us bringing formula milk for children in Gaza, which is fascinating. We were the first respondents in Gaza. We started, it's a Sunday, and we started distributing formula milk for these infants who are really malnutritioned all over Gaza. Our teams are engaged. We have saints over there. We have wonderful heroes in Gaza who like and love, and it's for them a vocation to serve the other. This happens also over the West Bank. You saw on you know, on the daycare center for all the people, we have 150 people that taking care of them. We are trying to provide hot meals to these elderly people. We're trying to provide health care. Nurses are sent even for the ones who can't attend and come and enjoy some entertainment and animation activities in the center. Also, like Zabab Day in Jenin Governorate, we have a huge presence over there. We have interventions in 30 villages and towns, trying to support farmers and individuals, youth, women, interacting with the whole community. We had an intervention a couple of weeks ago, a medical day and a psychosocial day for children, a medical day for people who need health care. We know very well that people has lost their sources of income and they can't afford going to a doctor, to a specialist doctor. They can't afford paying £20 to £30 for such services. So we provide these services for free for the community. And the attendance of the community is astounding. You know, you see them. We provide medicine for free, and it's expensive medicine. You're talking about insulin, quite expensive. People can't afford it. This was done from like medical care and healthcare service. And on the other side, as mentioned by Father Elias, we care for the children, for their own well-being. So we try to provide psychosocial services for these children. And we have successfully worked with the parish in Zababde on this intervention. More than 350 children were there. Amazing. The vice president of Caritas Jerusalem was, he's a bishop also, Monsignor Fram was attended this event, and he was really deeply touched with the work of Caritas Jerusalem, because we took him also on a field visit to one very adjacent 10 minutes drive from Zababde. It's called Jalkamus, and we visited a family with people with disabilities over there, and over there was Muhammad, one of their children. He is a young. It's 32 years, but it has a disability. And we provided for them the means to a greenhouse, to have plants, to plant a tomato. And it's deeply touching. This is the only source of income for that family. So we extend the arms of the Catholic Church beyond the parishes, actually. This is the work of Caritas.
Our mission with the Muslims in the school, because some Catholic would tell me, but this is the Catholic school, how come you bring Muslims? We cannot live without Muslims in the society, in the Palestinian society. And we have to build bridges between the people. And this is one of the vision and the mission of our schools all over Palestine and Jordan and Israel. So we need this relation. And we need to serve the people and put in consideration that Patriarch, the Cardinal Pizzaballa, has deleted the debts for all students, for Christians and Muslims, all over the diocese.
That's
because
amazing.
Of the Jubilee this year. It was around $10 million.
Goodness.
Actually, we are very lucky and blessed to have this highly intelligent, humble, courageous person, Cardinal Pizzaballa, who is the president of Caritas Jerusalem. He visited and stayed with the people of Gaza three times, May 24, December 24, and the last visit after the shelling of the church in Gaza, which was quite concerning. I think we have one of the greatest courageous bishops all over the world over here.
No, do you know, I'd agree. And he's sat in that very chair as well. I was privileged enough to speak to him. I think his statesmanship, you know, he's a man of God, but as a statesman, I think it's been remarkable, especially his interventions in recent times. Now, I know because you're being pushed from pillar to post, a phrase we use over here when you're very busy, So I'm going to finish by asking you, in a sense, the same question, but I'm going to ask it in a slightly different way to each of you. So first of all, Father Ilias, what would your message be to the Catholic community in England and Wales in terms of what they should know about what you're going through and potentially what they can do to help?
First of all, I would encourage them to know that we are there, because some of them don't remember that Catholics are there. They think all Palestine are Muslims. No, we are there, and we are originally there. And we are not converted to Christianity. We are Christians since the time of Jesus Christ. And second, let them pray for this presence, because if they don't pray for this presence, Holy Land is only empty from the living stones of the church, which is the parishes. Third, if they can support even economically, their presence is very, very important because of this very bad situation of Palestinians. It is not only for Muslims, for everybody who is in Palestine. So please help us and think about us, talk about us, and don't forget, whenever you are in Palestine, come and visit. You have to have this very unique experience of the Christians of the Holy Land. Or every parish we receive any pilgrims or any person who is coming on his own. He wants to sleep in our convents. It is opened. People are very welcoming, and you can have very unique experience of this very unique presence of the Christians of the Holy Land in the land of Jesus Christ.
Do you know, I totally agree. And the first time I first went to the Holy Land, I think you lose your heart to the people of the Holy Land, actually, and then you're never quite the same again. So I completely echo that. And I will say this, Father Ilias, you must be like an experienced professional broadcaster, because they say to always talk in threes so people can remember those things. So that was a wonderful touch. We now know three things our people can focus on. Anton, I'm going to finish with you. So it's the same sort of question. I'm still interested in how you're able to operate. I know there's a lot that's to be decided, and it's quite hard to look at the terrain and work out exactly how effective you can be. But it's obvious that Caritas Jerusalem is punching very well above its weight. It's doing a lot of very, very good work. I hope to see you again in January 26, God willing. And I love the way you always mention the face of Christ, showing the face of Christ to people. I'm glad that's so important to you. I mean, sometimes we say, you know, if we're going to talk about all these subjects and all these myriad of different things in our society, let's mention Jesus Christ. It's why we're here. So it's lovely to hear that from you. So what would your final message be for the Catholics in England and Wales?
Well, very important. And I want to assure what Father also said, because as mentioned also by the late Pope, we don't want to sound hypocritic, caring for the other and not caring for ourselves. So it's really highly concerning for the bishops and Cardinal Pizzaballa, the Christian presence and preserving the Christian presence in the Holy Land. And that's why we keep encouraging all our brothers and sisters out there to come and have a pilgrimage, and not a normal pilgrimage, just visiting the holy places. It's also being with the living stones, witnessing what they are going through, listening to them. So synodality is listening. You know, you learn from them a lot, and it's a journey. Pilgrimage it starts back in your home, then you experience it in the Holy Land. Yes, you visit the holy places, but you have to visit the parishes and be with the parishioners and talk to the parishioners and visit also and be with the organizations who are serving all the communities over there. And get back and be ambassador for these people. Try to promote peace. And if you want to promote peace, it's all about justice. And you will see that there is injustice over there. And how you can help, it's very important. You help by, that I believe deeply inside, by the power first of the prayer. And we feel it in the Holy Land. You can pray as much as you can for the Holy Land. And by supporting, whether locally from your side, and you know how to do it, or by supporting economically the Holy Land, the Church of the Holy Land. And in this way, you could support the Christians and preserving the Christian presence in the Holy Land.
Do you know, that's beautifully put. And just before I finish, I will share one little reflection I have, because you both spoke so well about those encounters with the people of the Holy Land. And I remember this wonderful older lady in Ubud and I was just sitting by her. We were just sort of looking and smiling because we couldn't speak each other's language. And it was very moving. I knew she wanted to get my attention. And she sort of was rustling in her bag and she brought out one of those beautiful Palestinian purses, you know, very unique. And she was sort of saying, I thought she was saying, have a look. So I was like, oh, that's beautiful. That's really nice. And she was going, no, it's for you. And honestly, I can't tell you how touched I was. As I say, I think you lose your heart to the people of Palestine.
So they are not dangerous.
they're beautiful people. And most people, I think, just want to live their lives, don't they? Really, let's be honest. We might be in different parts of the world, but we just want to get on with our lives. But thank you for reflecting the face of Christ in what you've said and for talking to us about those realities. And hopefully you can come back and do this again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'd be great. Thanks so much.